بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention, our hearts, to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are explaining the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as to receive the virtue mentioned in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah has 99 perfect names, 100 minus 1. Whoever memorizes them and understands them will be admitted into paradise. Allah's names are uncountable. However, these 99 names specifically mentioned in this hadith have this merit, that whoever memorizes them and understands them, meaning the meanings, will be admitted into paradise, will be receiving the good tidings to be admitted into paradise. We are up to the name of Allah, Al-Hasib. Al-Hasib means the one who judges the slaves on the day of judgment for whatever their hands brought forward. Everyone in this life will be judged on the day of judgment based on his deeds. As Allah Ta'ala said, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. If you perform good deeds, you benefit yourself in the hereafter. If you wrong yourself, and that is when you commit sins, then blame no one but yourself, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never unjust to the slaves. So when you obey Allah, you benefit yourself. You disobey Allah, you harm yourself. Allah does not get benefited by the obedience of the slaves, and does not get harmed by the disobedience of the slaves. Rather, those who obey Allah benefit themselves, and those who disobey Allah harm themselves. So Allah is Al-Hasib, the one who judges the slaves on the day of judgment for whatever they have done in this life. Everyone will be seeing his book on the day of judgment. In that book that he will receive on the day of judgment, he will see what he has done in this life, what he has believed and what he has said, all written in that book. The one who commits sins then repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these sins, by the mercy of Allah, these sins will be wiped out. So the sins from which you have repented, you will not see them in your book on the day of judgment. And as you know, you have this opportunity, one opportunity in this life to work for the hereafter. You will not be given another chance, only one chance. Once you die, there is no return to this dunya, no return to this world. Every day you are spending, if you think about it thoroughly, you cannot make it up. It's gone. Every day that passes on you is gone. So that's why you have to think about the day when you are going to be judged. And as Umar radiallahu anhu, the second caliph, said, judge yourself before you are judged. It's way easier for one to judge himself than being judged on the day of judgment. In this life, you have this chance to judge yourself and see if you are short in some of the obligations, you perform them. If you are negligent and you commit some sins, you can repent. So there is a way to rectify yourself before you die. But on the day of judgment, you will not be given a chance to come back to this world so you can work for the hereafter. That's why you have only one chance that you need to think about. So if you think about this name always, Al-Hasib, the one who will judge the slaves, remember, you will be judged. So for whatever you do in this life, think about this, keep it in mind. That will help you refrain from doing what is haram, what is forbidden. Because before you do it, you think, and the knowledge that you have acquired will alert you. Watch out, you're going to be judged. And when you think about this, that will help you refrain from doing the haram. Also, Allah is Al-Jalil, means the one who is attributed with the greatness of majesty and glory of status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with the highest rank, highest status. And that's when you say about Allah, for instance, Al-Ali or Al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most glorified status. We glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything amongst the creations. We love the prophets, we glorify them. We love the angels, we glorify them. But we do not glorify them to the extent we glorify Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest in status, in glory, in majesty. And Allah is your creator. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is rightfully worshipped. So when you worship Allah Azza wa Jal, you're worshipping Allah because Allah is worthy of worship, because He is the creator. And that's why one has to reflect upon this name as well. You worship Allah because Allah is worthy of worship, because Allah is your creator. Allah is the one who created you. Allah is the one who gave you all these endowments that you are enjoying now. You can see, you can hear, you can walk, you can talk, you can taste. That's an endowment. You know, some people get sick and with a damage in the brain and they lose the sense of taste. Just imagine this, when you lose the sense of taste, then whatever they eat, sour, sweet, salty, whatever, all the same, no taste. Just this, that you now, you like to eat ice cream, it's a sweet, you like to eat something sour, you like to eat something, you change, like every time, you change. You don't eat sweet all the time or sour all the time, you change because your self desires different tastes. So when you lose this endowment of tasting, So aren't you scared? Aren't you worried? When you consume something haram, when you eat something haram, that because of this, you might be deprived of that endowment that Allah bestowed upon you. So you would think, is it worth it that I disobey Allah and I lose this great endowment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many cases, afflicts the slaves based on their deeds. Meaning, when you commit sins, you will be inflicted sometimes diseases, sometimes losing endowments. This could happen in many cases. In some cases, a person might be pious, righteous, God-fearing, but he gets inflicted so he can be raised in ranks. And that's the case of the prophets and the righteous Muslims. But in normal situation, the ordinary situation is that when you commit sins, you expect to be inflicted with calamities. So that's why before you look at the haram, think about losing the endowments. And you will know that it's not worth it that you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even for the sake of the whole worldly pleasures. So even if you were to give away all the worldly pleasures, but you don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's worth it. That's why I think about this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that the one who misses out the asr prayer without an excuse, as if he has lost all his family members and all his wealth. Just imagine, in one moment, you lose all your family members, all your wealth, everything. Now you become with nothing, no relatives, no family members, no money, nothing. Isn't it hard? It's very hard, very difficult. Missing out one prayer without an excuse is worse than one losing all his family members and all his wealth. Also, Allah is Al-Kareem. Al-Kareem, the one who gives abundance of goodness. And Allah initiates the endowment without the slaves doing something that they become deservable of this endowment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows His benevolence upon the slaves without repayment. There is nothing that is obligatory upon Allah Azza wa Jal. All the endowments bestowed upon us from Allah are due to His generosity and grace, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave us all these endowments that you can feel, you can live every day, and you need to appreciate without Allah being obligated to do so. It's by His benevolence. It's by His grace and by His generosity, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gives abundance of goodness and initiates the endowment without Him being obligated to do so, and before even the slaves do something to be deservable of that endowment. Look, in this life, Allah gives the believers and the non-believers from His bounty, from His benevolence in this life, gives the believers and the non-believers, because the whole worldly pleasures do not equal a wing of a mosquito in the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wing of a mosquito. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the whole worldly pleasures do not equal a wing of a mosquito in the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Had it been worthy of a wing of a mosquito, Allah wouldn't have given the non-believer a sip of water to drink in this life. Allah gives in this life the believers and the non-believers, but in the hereafter, Allah's mercy is specific for the believers. So if this whole world, the worldly pleasures, do not equal a wing of a mosquito, so you think about, is it worth it to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal for the sake of seeking worldly pleasures? Never. Never. Also, Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Raqib. Ar-Raqib, the all-knowing, the one from whose knowledge nothing escapes. Allah knows everything. Allah knows about what you reveal and what you conceal. You might conceal something from me, I don't see it, but you cannot conceal it from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah knows about the whisperings, the thoughts, the intentions. Nothing is hidden from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you need to keep that always in mind. One of the righteous scholars called Sahal al-Tusturi, his uncle was a righteous Muslim, and he raised him a proper Islamic way. And he taught him when he was young, little child, he said to him, say every day, Allah sees me. Allah knows everything about me. Keep saying this. Allah witnesses what I'm doing. He started saying it every day. Then after a while, he came back to him and said, are you saying it? He said, yes. He said, say it more now. So he kept on saying these statements. Allah sees me. Allah knows everything about me. Allah witnesses what I'm doing. Until he said, these statements were engraved in my heart. Were engraved in my heart. Then my uncle came to me and said, O Sahal, the one who knows that Allah sees him, and that Allah knows everything about him, and that Allah witnesses what he's doing, would he dare to disobey Allah? He said, no. So he said, don't ever disobey Allah. He said, then I went in the right path, acquiring the knowledge, practicing my religion, and whenever bad whisperings, bad thoughts were to come to me, I always remember that Allah sees me, Allah knows everything about me, Allah witnesses what I'm doing, so I don't commit it until he reached righteousness. Three statements help him escalate in religion and reach righteousness, which should be the target of every one of us in this life. Now, before you think about, I want to collect that wealth, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a billionaire, whatever. Before you think about this, think about the target, the objective of your life, how to become a pious Muslim, how to become a righteous Muslim, and you should work for that. That's the main thing. That should be your main objective in this life. Also, Allah is Al-Mujib. Allah is Al-Mujib, meaning the one who answers, the one in need, when he asks Allah and rescues the yearner when he calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said in the Quran, قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. So Allah is Al-Mujib, the one who answers the call of the slaves when he is in need and he supplicates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him either the reward for his supplication, for asking Allah, or the reward plus fulfill his need. So whenever you make supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are always winning. You are always a twin. Why? Because it's either Allah fulfills your request, your supplication, and you get the rewards as well, plus the fulfillment of your supplication, or you might ask Allah and Allah does not answer your call, does not fulfill your need, but you get the rewards of the supplication. So you are winning in both cases. Not everything we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for will be fulfilled. And that's the test in this life. Sometimes you get sick. Another one gets sick with the same sickness. He supplicates Allah, he gets cured. You supplicate Allah and you do not get cured. Here, if you think about it from another perspective, that you remain sick and you remain patient, that will help you escalate in ranks. So you might be patient in this life for a few years until you die, let us say. You remain sick until you die, but that will be a good sign for you. Being afflicted and patient, that's good for the believer. That's good for the believer. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, O Messenger of Allah, I have a daughter. I would like to propose her to you so the Prophet can marry her. Then he said, my daughter is so and so, so and so, so and so. He started describing. And he said, she's never felt with a headache or toothache. Healthy, as you say, 100%. She has no problem, health-wise. To an extent that she never experienced a headache or toothache. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have no need of her. Despite that lady being with all these positive attributes, the Prophet said, I have no need of her, because the Prophet considered her as short. Short in what? In regards of the rewards in this religion. Because one will be receiving more rewards when he's afflicted. So when you get afflicted with calamities and you remain patient, you are lucky. When you think about the infliction being a means for you to get rewards from Allah Azza wa Jal, you appreciate even the sickness, you appreciate it. Even when you lose your money and you say Alhamdulillah, you remain patient, you appreciate this. Think about it in a positive way. Look, subhanAllah, Allah is ever merciful. If we have money and spend the money in acts of obedience, we'll be rewarded. So if Allah gives us money, grant like in this life, and we spend the money in acts of obedience, we'll be rewarded. And Allah is the one who gave us the money. If our sustenance is little and we remain patient, Allah will give us rewards. So wherever you go, you can find means of receiving rewards from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem, the most generous, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Al-Wasi', meaning his sustenance reached all his creations. Allah is the one who provides sustenance to the animals, to the insects, to the marine animals at the bottom of the ocean. Allah provides them with their sustenance. So wherever you go, Allah provides you with the sustenance for you. And that's why you should have that firm belief in your heart that my sustenance will reach me. No one can stop my sustenance that Allah predestined for me from reaching me, no matter what. So that's why you always rely on Allah Azza wa Jal. That will make you content in this life, accepting even a little amount of sustenance and working for the hereafter. Allah is Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim meaning the one who perfected the creating of the creations. So these creations are created according to the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the way that suits the best wisdom. If you look at the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see the wisdom in every single creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is the most wise because Allah knows about the consequences. Allah knows about the consequences. That's why, remember this, anything that is an obligation upon you in our religion, it is an obligation for a wisdom. Anything that is ordained as a sin upon us to commit, we have been forbidden from doing it for a wisdom. You are allowed to eat lamb, but you are not allowed to eat pork. This is for a wisdom. You are allowed to drink orange juice, but not wine, for a wisdom. Think about this. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon us as an obligation, it's for a wisdom. So Allah perfected His creations. And if you were to observe the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do not see what? You do not see any deficiency. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتِ. There is no deficiency. Everything is in a proportionate way. Look at yourself, subhanAllah. If you draw a line like this, you are symmetrical. One eye from this side, one eye from that side. One hand here, one hand there. Proportionate. And look at your limbs. They are proportionate to your body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected the creations and made human being the best type of the creations. And that's why Allah chose the prophets to be amongst human beings. Compare yourself with the way Allah created the animals. They all walk facing the ground on four legs, facing the ground. But the human being is not facing the ground. Walks on two legs and he can see in front of him. This is a way, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguished the human being from the animals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected His creations according to His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Al-Wadud. And Al-Wadud, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows His acceptance on the righteous slaves. Accept their deeds and rewards them greatly for doing them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows His acceptance on His slaves and rewards them greatly for their deeds. That's the meaning of Al-Wadud. That's the meaning of Al-Wadud. Also, Allah is Al-Majid. Al-Majid as well means the one who has the ultimate generosity and the one who has the greatest status. As Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. Also, Allah is Al-Ba'ith, meaning the one who resurrects the creations after death and assemble them in a day that will undoubtedly occur and happen, which is the day of judgment. As Allah Ta'ala said, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. On the day for judgment, these bodies, and meaning the bodies that decayed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the earth to bring his parts together. He will be restructured. Because when a body decays, you know, the flesh decays first, then the bones, only that little bone at the end of the tailbone of the vertebral column of a human being, it's a very, very tiny one. It's called Ajbu al-Zanab. The Prophet said about it, مِنْهُ خُلِقَ ابْنُ آدَمُ وَعَلَيْهِ يُرَكَّبُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So his skeleton will be structured on that little bone on the day of judgment. That one does not perish. See, when they do the cremation for a corpse, they put it in the oven, crematory, and they burn it, this doesn't get burnt. Doesn't perish. Even in the grave, when one's body perishes, decays, that remains. On it, on the day of judgment, the skeleton will be structured, will be covered with flesh, the soul will come back, and the graves will be cut open and people will come out of their graves. They call this resurrection. They will be assembled for judgment, and that is the assembly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect the creations on the day of judgment and will assemble them for judgment. If you think about your life compared to the everlasting life in the hereafter, this will be nothing. So just imagine 60 years, for instance, 70 years, even 100, if you were to live up to 100, and that's very rare these days. 60, 70, that's the average, if you were to live up to it. But even if you were to say 100 years, over everlasting life, that's nothing. This fraction is negligible. Negligible fraction you get. So that's why one of the scholars said, this life is like an hour. It's like an hour. This life is like an hour. Spend it in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that usually the self is greedy. Teach a lesson to be content. You need to oppose your desires, your bad inclinations. You know how much effort the righteous Muslims in the past put on themselves to rectify themselves, to be better Muslims? One of the scholars said, I struggled with myself to fix it for 40 years until it became straight. He was working very hard on himself for 40 years until it became straight. That's an effort. Now look at yourself. Many people, they wake up in the morning, whatever they feel they want to do, they go to do it. They want to have some fun here, waste time here, and do such and such. They do not oppose themselves. They do not even question themselves. They do not judge themselves. They do not put limits for their inclinations. Whatever they want to do, they want to do. That scholar worked on himself for 40 years, he said, until he reached the stage of righteousness. And it was narrated that one righteous Muslim, Wali, visited another righteous Muslim, another Wali. And those are highly accepted by Allah. Those are the righteous slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That righteous Muslim visited another righteous Muslim. When he went to visit him, he saw him sitting in the air, crossing his legs, sitting in the air, suspended, nothing underneath him. So he asked him, how did you get to this stage? Now sometimes Allah shows some of these extraordinary things for the righteous Muslims, for others to see and witness that this is the path of righteousness, and also proof, evidence that the messenger of the time is a prophet sent by Allah, and this is ascertain his prophethood. Because this one followed that prophet. And this proves that the prophet is on the right path. Because by this person following him, he reached what he reached. So he saw him sitting in the air, crossing his legs. He said, how did he get to this stage? He said, by opposing myself. By opposing myself. And some scholars said, the cure for oneself is by fighting it. The cure for oneself is by fighting it. Fight yourself. Do not be a captive for your bad inclinations and your desires. Do not be handcuffed by your desires, led by your desires. No, think about it. Can I do this Islamically? If yes, I'll do it. If not, I'm not going to do it. Is there anything better I can do? What I can gain my time, utilize my time in a proper way? You need to think about this. Otherwise, time is running very fast, day after day. Some of you, as if yesterday, we remember them, little children, playing. Now some of you already got married. Time goes by very quick. It was said, you know, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam lived for about 1,750 years. It was said that the angel asked him, how did you find this day in this life? He said, as if it's a house with two doors. I went into it from one door, then exited from the other. This is how we found life. From one door, exited from the other. And he lived 1,750 years. So what about 60, 70 years, brothers and sisters? So we have to live our life wisely. Utilize your time in the way that benefits you. In the way that benefits you in the hereafter. Do not follow your desires and bad inclinations. Always think about the hereafter. Think about judgment and judge yourself before you are judged. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with the knowledge we have acquired and to increase our knowledge. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.